Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bubba Neart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and I want to get to Mary in the Roman Catholic Church, the position that they hold Mary, because in Massachusetts, there is a Catholic church that had three statues vandalized, and one of them was a statue of Mary. And whenever Mary is in the news, people who've listened to this show for years will come to us for our email on Mary, our Bible verses on Mary, and our teaching on Mary. So I want to get to that in just a moment. But first, Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, right? We have done what we can to warn Christians that he's a fraud. He is being talked about as a possible presidential candidate if the Republicans don't pick a nominee on their first ballot at their convention, and it's a contested convention. And of course, Mitt Romney, who is the socialist pro-child killing, aggressive pro-child killing, anti-religious rights, anti-human rights, anti-right to life, pro-sodomite, Republican, liberal, Mitt Romney chose Paul Ryan as his running mate, and that's a match made in purgatory, or however you'd like to finish that saying. You'd say a match made in heaven, but it's a match made in purgatory, I'd have to say, especially since we're going to be talking about Roman Catholicism in a moment. But Paul Ryan in October said that Planned Parenthood should not receive one red cent. And then he was elevated to the position of the Speaker of the House, one of the highest government positions in the land. And he introduced and managed to just glide right through approval of a Barack Obama federal budget that fully funded every program that Obama wanted to fund, including fully funding Planned Parenthood and fully funding Obamacare and fully funding Islamic immigration to this country, in fact, overfunding immigration to this country from nations that are primarily, where the population is primarily Muslim. So that's the Paul Ryan we're talking about. And a couple months ago, we helped with a protest at Paul Ryan's home and at his local church in Janesville, Wisconsin, because of his pro-abort. He's a fraud. Many Republicans would think he's pro-life, or they would think he's conservative, and he's a fraud, like so many are. And so today, Donald Trump was in Wisconsin, major campaign stop in Janesville, Wisconsin, the hometown of the Speaker of the House. And he was told, you have to be nice to Paul Ryan, even though Ryan is mentioned as a possible competition if there's a contested convention. And so he was told, be nice to Paul Ryan. This is his hometown. And so Trump, wetting his finger and putting in the air, see which way the wind is blowing. And he asks the crowd, your new Speaker of the House, how do you like Paul Ryan? How do you like him? And the response was a chorus of boos from a large crowd. Boos. And so that's heartening. It's not heartening that there are so many people who are at a Donald Trump rally, since Trump is a lifelong pro-child-killing, leftist, protectionist, socialist, liberal. And so, you know, they say that politicians are lying when their lips are moving. And, of course, Donald Trump wants the Republican nomination. So he's saying populist things, and he's saying things that the Republican base will approve of. And so his magical conversion to being pro-life is identical to Mitt Romney's magical conversion of being pro-life, which is utterly fraudulent. And there are many people who want to be lied to. They desire to be lied to. That's their goal in life, to be lied to so that they can feel good about joining the winning side and voting for somebody. It's like sports. It's like the Stanley Cup. the Super Bowl. It's like a soap opera. Do they still do soap operas? I don't know if they still do soap operas. I guess they're just network programming. So that's going on today in Janesville, Wisconsin. And I'm encouraged that we here at Bobinert Live and the folks at Denver Bible Church, we helped. We did our part to get people out to Paul Ryan's home, a home protest, and to his church on Sunday morning. Large church. So just letting people know that he is an ally of Planned Parenthood, fully funding Planned Parenthood, fully giving Barack Obama what he wanted. And that's what, remember, George W. Bush did the same thing. He not only fully funded Planned Parenthood compared to Bill Clinton's funding levels that had been record levels, hundreds of millions of dollars. George W. Bush basically doubled Bill Clinton's funding of Planned Parenthood. Just blew it right out of the water, the funding. And what did he give him, $2 billion? $2 billion? And that was when the Republicans had the trifecta. They had it all. So you can't say that, well, George W. Bush was fighting with a Democratic Congress, because the House of Representatives was controlled by the Republicans, and the Senate was controlled by the Republicans, and the U.S. Supreme Court, the majority were nominated by the Republicans, and we put George W. Bush in the White House to defund Planned Parenthood and to get pro-life judges, and he doubled the funding for Planned Parenthood and stacked the courts with pro-abortion judges. So now it's what? Now it's Donald Trump? Oh, by the way, who was there with George W. Bush and for George W. Bush and never exposed George W. Bush as a fraud the whole time? And who is it that supports all the horrific abortion regulations that end with "and then you could kill the baby" and opposes the good abortion legislation that says the baby's a person? Who is that? Who is that candidate that I'm describing? What is his name? Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz there throughout the Bush years, significant player in the Bush election and his administration, Ted Cruz and his wife, and never opened their mouths about the fraudulent Bush administration funding Planned Parenthood at record levels, stacking the courts with pro-abortion judges. Never opened his mouth, supports only wicked abortion laws that end with "and then you could kill the baby," and opposes the only good abortion laws that say the baby's a person. And that's it. That's his record. And people think he'll be different. He's the real deal. I mean, he's a Harvard-educated lawyer. Shouldn't he know that, well, these laws are evil because they end with "and then you could kill the baby," and these laws are good because they say the baby's a person? Shouldn't he figure that out? He can't figure that out? And you think he'd help save the country? So at any rate, Paul Ryan is a fraud. I'm thrilled to hear that he was booed in Janesville, Wisconsin by Republicans. You don't know how that warms my heart to know that Paul Ryan was booed in his hometown by Republicans today. And the fact that we had a hand in bringing protesters to his home back in January and at his church, protesters at his home and at his church. Okay, so now back to Burlington, Massachusetts, a Catholic church there, St. Margaret's Church in Burlington. If you don't know who St. Margaret is, you're just not up on your Roman Catholicism. But at any rate, at St. Margaret's Church, there's a statue. Three statues were vandalized, and one of Mary. Now, Mary is blessed among women, and she's the mother of Jesus. And for Protestants who maybe are not aware, when Catholics pray the Hail Mary, a good chunk of it comes right out of the Bible, a good chunk of the Hail Mary. But that doesn't justify their praying the Hail Mary, because Mary, of course, was a sinner. We know that Mary was a sinner, right? And Mary is not omniscient. Mary is not omnipotent. She's not omnipresent. Little Latin lingo there, all those Latin omnis. And the ims, immutable, impassible, impossible. Mary is not those things. I mean, that would be God, right? To be omniscient, to know everything, to be omnipresent, to be everywhere, to be omnipotent, to be able to answer people's prayers and hold us all in her arms and whatever the Catholics pray to Mary about. But Mary is a sinner. Mary is a sinner who is saved by her trust in Jesus Christ. Like all others who are saved, who are redeemed. So what does the Bible say about Mary? Well, in her own words, right? In her own words, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bobbinert Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Okay, so Mary said in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." God my Savior. So who needs a Savior? Someone who needs to be saved. You need a Savior if you have sin that has caused a separation between you and God. And Mary, like all human beings, have sinned. Mary has sinned. And that's why she referred to God as her Savior. Isn't that neat that she did that? I mean, Mary, being humble, is undoubtedly devastated by the perverse obsession with her, including by the men of the clergy in the Roman Catholic Church, almost as though they have a perverse relationship with her, with the previous pope writing as he's dying in a hospital in Rome, and he can't even speak any longer, and so he asks for a pad so that he can write something down. And he wrote, "Totus tuus, totus tuus." And I'm thinking, totus tuus. Sounds like, you know, look it up, totally yours, totally yours. It sounds like he's saying to God, "I'm totally yours. God, I'm totally yours. I'm at the moment of my death. I'm going to close my eyes for the last time and open them and see who? See God, my creator, my savior." But it turns out totus tuus is his slogan to Mary. That's his career ministry slogan to Mary, totally yours. That's sick. And I guarantee you that Mary is discouraged by this obsession with her. Guarantee you. Mary was not sinless. Mary was not conceived immaculately. The Immaculate Conception, there are millions of people who think the Catholic teaching on the Immaculate Conception means Jesus' incarnation conceived in Mary's womb. That's not what they mean by that. They mean when Mary was conceived, it was an immaculate conception. Now, is that bizarre or what? When Mary was conceived. I mean, Mary's genealogy, you could read about it in the New Testament. Mary is, she's a human being in need of a Savior, humble before her Lord and God. That's who Mary was. And she's blessed among women because the Father chose Mary to have the Holy Spirit overshadow her and conceive in her womb Jesus Christ. God the Son become flesh. Actually born of her flesh, so that one of Mary's ovum was completed by the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, God created Adam and Eve. and he understands the reproductive system. And he made women with ova, with eggs, and he knows that the female gamete has to be completed with the 23 chromosomes of the male, and then you have the a single cell living human being. And so God created the 23 chromosomes of the male and completed one of Mary's ovum, and thereby Jesus Christ was incarnate into the world as a man. And he loved that title for himself more than he loved God the Son. And more than he loved the Son of God, he loved the title the Son of Man. Because for eternity past, he had been God the Son. You know, he's always God the Son. But now he's the Son of Man. He loved that title. He liked to refer to himself as the Son of Man. Just like God the Father likes to be known as the God of Abraham. You know, Abraham's name was not Abraham, it was Abram. And Sarah's name was not Sarah, it was Sarai. And God's name was Yahweh, Y-H-W-H, an H sound. And so what did God do? He put an H sound into Abram's name and made him Abraham. And he put a H sound at the end of Sarai's name and made her Sarah, because God was changing their names so that it would be evident that they were identified with God. And then God took upon himself Abraham's name, because he is referred to repeatedly as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and Jesus Christ, God the Son, as the Son of Man, his favorite title for himself. And so Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." And Mary is a created being, like you and I are, and she was a sinner in need of a Savior. She's not God, so she's not omnipresent. Is she everywhere simultaneously? Is she where you are right now? God is where you are right now. If you are a believer, God dwells in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit. You are in Christ, and he is in you right now. God is, he's like the American Express card. He's everywhere he wants to be. Wherever God wants to be, he's there. And Mary, though, is a created being. I mean, the archangels, Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer, who now has fallen, rebelled against God, and he's Satan. He's not omnipresent. People think, oh, Satan's doing X, Y, Z to me. He's tempting me. He's whatever. Satan is only in one location at a time. I mean, he might be able to move quickly, but he's in one location at a time. He's not omnipresent. Demons are not omnipresent. Michael is not omnipresent. Gabriel, the archangels, he's not omnipresent. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God can express himself in an omnipresent way everywhere and anywhere he wants to be at any moment, on heaven and on earth and under the earth, wherever he wants to be. Mary is not that. No created being is that. And no created being is omniscient, can know everything that can be known at any given moment. So there are 7 billion people in the world. 7 what? 7.1 billion? And there are, you know, a huge number of Christians, at least those who name the name of Christ, hundreds of millions of Roman Catholics, and they try to get their members to pray to Mary every day, which is, it is sick. It is a perversion. It is an unhealthy obsession, and undoubtedly Mary is disgusted by it. So Mary speaks every language, 1,000 languages in use today. She speaks them all. She's everywhere. She's in every room. She's in every homosexual bar. She's on every porn production house. She's on every stage. She's everywhere. She's in every restroom. She's all those places. And so when somebody prays to Mary, she's there hearing them in all those languages, and she's responding to all those people. What is she just passing through the prayers to the Father or to Jesus? Just passing them through. She's just a conduit. Where the New Testament says that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And that's why the priesthood was done away with in the New Testament. But the Pope never got the message. He never got the message that the priesthood was done away with. And so this perversion with these intermediaries, oh, please pray, praying to the dead so that they can pray to God for you when you could pray directly through Jesus Christ. The New Testament says that we can come to the throne of God boldly through Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man. So we went to St. Patty's Cathedral. St. Patrick's Day was just a couple weeks ago, right? And for the first time, the homosexuals marched openly under their own banners in New York City in the world's largest St. Patty's Day parade. So now it's, now they have the full Nelson, right? Because it's been an event of just complete drunkenness and perversion for years. So now it's just open. Sodomites and drunks. That's what it is. But St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, if you've never been there, it's astounding. It is absolutely an astounding basilica. The architecture and the artwork is astounding. But I'll read to you, I took a photo of a plaque to Mary there. And I'll read to you what it says. It says, "Perfect ever holy Virgin Mary." So Mary wasn't ever virgin, right? Mary had other children. She wasn't sinless. Mary said, "God, my Savior." So she needed a Savior. So she wasn't sinless. She wasn't ever virgin. I mean, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, Joseph, we read that Joseph took to him his wife, Mary, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, Jesus. So if Joseph took to him his wife, Mary, and did not know her, that's a biblical euphemism. When Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and bore a son, and they called him Cain, then Abel, then Seth. And so Joseph took to him his wife and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn. And then, of course, she had her secondborn and thirdborn. Because later in Matthew, Jesus' mother and brothers stood outside. And in Mark, "Is this not the son of Mary, Jesus, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" The Lord's brother, James, became the head of the church. The Lord's brother, Judas, wrote the book of Jude. Judas is the Greek for Judah, the fourth of the 12 sons of Jacob. And James is a Greek name that would be used for Jacob. And so these are all Jewish names, right? Simeon is one of the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes. Joseph is Joseph. So Jesus' brothers were all named for the 12 tribes of Israel, of course, and their father, Jacob. And in his letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, he was having a bad day, and he was complaining that he had to travel with Barnabas while the brothers of the Lord and Peter, they take along their wives. Remember that? 1 Corinthians 9:5. Paul says, Paul's like, "What's with this? I have to travel with Barnabas and the apostles of the Lord and the brothers of the Lord and Peter, they get to travel with their wives. And I'm stuck with Barnabas." Yeah, it's hard to blame him for being a little grouchy about that. So here's this plaque at St. Patrick's Cathedral. Perfect, ever holy Virgin Mary. She wasn't ever virgin. Mother of the true God for whom we live. She's the mother of Jesus Christ incarnate. She's not the mother of God. Many Catholics think she is, and they worship her as though she were God. The Roman Catholic Church, the Pope, needs to warn their members, do not worship Mary. You who are truly our compassionate mother, Mary's not your mother. We seek you. Imagine that. You're supposed to seek God. We seek you. We beseech you. Mercifully hear our cries. She can't. She's not omnipresent. In our sufferings. Heal our sorrows. Mary can't do that. Our afflictions and our pain. Gentle and loving mother, shelter us in the hollow of your mantle, in the fold of your arms. That's perverse. Let nothing distress nor disturb our hearts. Mary's going to do that for you. Reveal to us your beloved son. Well, that's nice, right? Except Mary can't do that because she's not here. Most Holy Virgin Mary of Guadalupe, that comes from the 1500s, a peasant in Mexico, make us your messengers. We're not Mary's messengers. And then they quote Mary, am I not here, I who am your mother? No, she's not here, and she's not your mother. God bless.